Jackson. I was telling Sister Jackson last night, I was trying to think how I should get into this message. I didn't quite have my introduction last night when I was going to bed. I think some show was on she was watching or whatever. She's been in horrible pain for the last couple of weeks with her arm and her leg where they did that bypass on her. And it's still another week or two before she go back to the doctor. And he told her to kind of stay on the bed rest until she come back or whatever. And she's trying not to take the pain pills. And I told her, well, maybe you should take those pain pills a little bit more than you have, you know, when you need them or whatever. But to make a long story short, when the second chapter of Isaiah, the first through the fifth verse, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I was thinking she was laying there, and you wonder, I was wondering, how do you get here? How do you get to certain points, you know? And we was looking, I said, well, we're all getting old. I went and visited my brother the other day in the hospital or whatever. I looked and I said, well, we're all getting old. Listen at this, and I want to know, do you wonder the same thing? How do we get here? And it says the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. All the nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, and he will teach of us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. How did they get to that point? Because as we see there, that's the last days. That's the millennial reign of Christ. That's talking about the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, we see the Gentiles. And I think it's an abundance of Gentiles, more Gentiles in that than you would have of the Jewish nation. You know, Christ did say, go into all nations preaching the gospel. And here we see where all nations are flowing to the house of God. Now, so she said, well, didn't you preach on that before? That second chapter before the first and the fifth verse? And that's the redundancy of scripture, that no matter how far you plow into it, there's so much learning, so much to grasp, so many layers of the onion to peel from it. How did they get in this condition to where the Gentiles was going to learn of God? And we look the following verses there, seeing where God is rejecting his people and coming to punish them. Sometimes you get learning through seeing things happen to other people. You know, I said I saw my brother the other day in the condition he's in. How did he get there? Maybe we have to look at the journey. At the journey. How did you get where you were going? How did they get to a point of going up to the Lord's house happily and seeing peace, seeing the United Kingdom? And I'm going to come back and I'm going to preach unity from the same thing shortly. We'll know when. Lest the Spirit lead me at that time or whatever. Now, we have to see, a lot of people talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. A lot of preachers and people say, well, it's synonymous. They're the same, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I thought it one time, okay. But through hearing and studying and researching, they may not be all the same. The two may not be synonymous as we think in some ways, but one may contain the other. One may contain the other. Let us look at Matthew. And to go along with this as an introduction, and I'll close with this same chapter of Matthew in the conclusion, okay? And this is what it says. We start at the 31st verse. And Jesus was preaching and teaching as normal. And his old friends, the Pharisees, was there. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree. So the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And another parable he spoke unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. In other words, dark sayings. It was going to be hard for them to understand that. That's why he spoke to them in parables, because they sort of wasn't listening at what he said. He had rejected it. Now the only way that you can get that out is it be parsed out by his disciples, by his apostles, through their preaching and teaching, by the Spirit of God coming up on you, and that he opening your understanding whereby you can understand the scriptures. All these parables Jesus spoke unto them, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. So, we see, I preached already about that Isaiah here told Isaiah to preach the word of God. They was going to hear, but they wasn't going to understand. They was going to see, but they wasn't going to be able to see. He was going to close their eyes so they could see, but they wasn't going to be able to see. He was going to close their ears. They could hear, but they wasn't going to be able to hear and understand. In other words, here we see where the kingdom of heaven is inclusive of all. Because it says about the mustard seed, it's not like the mustard that you eat, the greens that you eat. There's a mustard seed that you make mustard from. That you know, the sauce that you use as a condiment, as a mustard seed that grow, and it grows as one of the tallest of those herbaceous seeds. In other words, a herb that becomes and grows, and it says all the fowl of the air come in large on it. And we see where he even goes, and leaven is always a type of sin, but he likened the kingdom of heaven as to leaven that a woman hid in measures of meals. So in other words, the kingdom of heaven would contain bad and good. And I don't have time to flush it out throughout all the scriptural examples of it, but it would contain bad and good. So let's begin the journey there. It's going to have everything in there. See, because a man was sowing seed in the field, and after he sowed his seed, he went to sleep, and the seed began to grow up. We noticed that tares were sown among those seed also. And he said the enemy had sown those seed, but he allowed them to grow up together. So the kingdom of heaven contains good and bad, everything under the heavens. Okay, so let's start with the journey. Remember, I tell you, how did we get to where we were, that everybody was going up to the kingdom of God? Because notice I said that was the kingdom of God we were talking about there, first and the second, fifth verse. The journey. A journey depicts a traveling, a walk with a destination or goal in mind. These people had in mind the house of God, assembling themselves into the house of God, which would be part of the kingdom of God. Now, all could come into the house of God except for, now, there may be sound like I'm contradicting myself later on, but we're going to leave it right there, that all, because remember, inside the Latter-day Church, you have those that Christ is going to rise up to fight against. Remember I told you, in the kingdom of heaven, it encompasses a lot, but we notice that there shall be a purging. You remember we've been talking purging of the people, and a purge that goes on in the church, because everybody in the church won't make it to heaven. Now heaven, I don't know, along the way people start making heaven their goal. I don't know if it's promised here or where heaven is promised. That's the tradition of your parents or whatever that preached the kingdom of heaven. Because we see the kingdom of God is the goal. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. It is a journey by faith. Listen at that. The journey to the kingdom of God is won by faith. The just, those that we talked about just now in that book that you read in Job, says, how can a man be justified by God? And we are found to be just. Jesus Christ is to justify. We come through justice in him, right? He justifies us. That's where we are just at. We have to be in Christ. Listen at that. We have to be in Christ. So the just shall live by faith. It's a faith walk. That's the journey that's required. And they're allowed in the church without faith. It's allowed in the church with just a little faith. And so those that's wanting to go on this journey, they wanted to learn. They say that we wanted to learn of God. And it's a lot that they was going to lay down. We see that they were going to be peaceful people, because they were going to beat their swords into plowshares. They wasn't going to be rambunctious of fighters. They were going to be and humble themselves to learn of God. And the goal is the kingdom of heaven. But we can't get there. Like I tell you, it's about faith. So the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. We can't see it coming. You remember I said we could see it, but we can't see? But he says, the pure in heart shall see God. Right? So that's going to eliminate a lot of people in the church, eliminate a lot of people that's in the kingdom of heaven. Listen to Luke 17, verse 20th chapter. 17th chapter and the 20th verse, added backwards. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here it is, or lo, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. He said, the kingdom of God is among you. It was because of his presence. In other words, he was that kingdom. The only way to get in that kingdom was to be what? In Christ. Yes. It was among them. It was within him. It was right there on earth. I pray for that kingdom every morning. Do y'all pray for that kingdom every morning? Yes. I say, thy kingdom come. Yes. Thy kingdom, his kingdom come, because his will could be done on earth, yes, it is in, as it is in heaven. But only those that love God and want to go up to the house of the Lord will seek to do his will and walk in the paths. Amen. He was able to do that through his ability. He did that. Yes. So what do we do in that walk of faith? What do we do in that walk of faith? See, because that's what I say. That journey is by faith. It is obedience by faith. Right? That's, we have to obey, but we have to learn what to obey. And that is his laws, his statutes and precepts. But it can't be under the law. It has to be through grace. It has to be through the grace of God, because we wouldn't be under the law. The Gentiles wasn't under the law. The law was given to Israel. The law was given to Israel, the oracles of the law. Right? It wasn't given to the Gentiles. How do we reconcile this, that all will be one? And they're going to learn, they say they're going to learn of the laws of God. Because those are some wonderful laws. The law is holy, pure, and just. And it was Israel who rejected God's laws. It was Israel who, by knowledge, they didn't have the power of God. Let's read Romans, the third chapter of Romans, and starting at maybe the 30th verse. It says, since indeed it is the one and the same God who will justify the circumcised by faith. That began with Abraham. You remember? Abraham was justified, in other words, because he believed God. So this began with Abraham. That's where that promise started, with Abraham by faith. It began with Abraham, so that would be inclusive of Israel and those of Israel that were walking by faith throughout the time. There were those that trusted God from that time in. Because you remember, he says Abraham and Isaac were set down in the kingdom. Okay? Because they trusted and believed God. And the uncircumcised, in other words, the Gentiles, those that's wanting to go up, because we see that it says all nations shall go up to the house of the Lord. In other words, we see that how we get there is that the apostles accomplished what he told them to do. He had told them, go ye into all nations preaching the gospel. All nations. So that's why part of our missionary journey, I told you, we had over 750 listens this month, and we had reached over 20 different countries. And I'll give you notes of it in over 30 or 40 states. And it varied from month to month of which countries, which states. Only 42 of those came from here in Louisiana. And I don't know if that 42, how many in the church heard it, but only 42 people listen at sermons here. Let's say 42 downloads. I don't know how many different people that was. See, so we know that only 42 in the state of Louisiana listen at us this month, and it varies from month to month. But it's through faith. It says, now listen at this. And the uncircumcised, through their newly acquired faith, that is, God opened their eyes, he had quickened, he had made them alive through faith. They had started to see and hear of God. He opened their eyes, he opened the eyes of those whom he made, who he want. That's how the church gives birth. He said, do then we nullify by this faith? Do we then nullify the law by this faith, making the law of no effect or overthrowing it? Certainly not. God forbid. On the contrary, we confirm and establish and uphold the law, since it convicts us of sin, pointing to the need for salvation. That's how we know we are sinners and we don't transgress the law, because he came to save us from our sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. So we need to learn of his statutes and laws so that we don't transgress it. So that's why the Gentiles, that's why I told you, we need to be a church that studies the word of God. We need to hide that word of God in our heart, and by grace, through faith, that we help establish the laws of God. Because that's establishing the kingdom. Because what that preaching of the word and learning of his word do, as we are witnesses and preach that word, those that can't hold to that word, whether they be our relatives, whether they be our friends, associates, or whoever they be, that condemns them. It either draws you or drives you. You either line up with it or you will get out. It's going to knock you out of line. That's why we must continue in the word. That's how the kingdom is growing now. Entrance into the kingdom. Let's make that sub point too. Entrance to the kingdom. How to inherit eternal life. You remember the rich young ruler came up to him and asked how he should return. Listen at Matthew 19, chapter 14 through the 19th verse. But Jesus says, let the little children come to me and don't prevent them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Notice he says, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say for such is the kingdom of God. See, because of little children, there are some that will be cursed also. Didn't he call them cursed children? We see in Ezekiel where the old people and the young people met the faith of judgment now. They met that faith, M-F-A-T-E, of judgment. He says, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he put his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. Someone came to Jesus with this question. It was the rich young ruler. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, when you call me good, you're calling me God. Jesus replied, for God alone is truly good. But to answer your question, you can get to heaven if you keep the commandments. Which ones, the man asked. And Jesus replied, well, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. That honor your father and mother and your neighbor as yourself, that's unselfishly seeking the best, a higher good for others. That's when you seek the best for other people over yourself. That's how they told that they were the disciples of Christ. That's how they call him Christ-like, because they of their love for one another. See, Jesus taught that we should even love our enemies, whereas the law teaches differently. Well, that's what the law has contained in it. The law gave you prescriptions, an eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but that need explanations. Jesus was the walking interpretation of those laws. That's why by the law shall no man just be justified. But see, this rich young ruler was just like many of us. We're used to partial obedience. Partial obedience. And we can't get to heaven that way. Only things will start happening good in your life when you fully comply, when you give yourself wholly to the Lord. Completely. Give him all of you. We're holding back. A lot of us hold back from God. We obey him in the areas that we want to, and we want to keep those little pockets and nooks and crannies that make us feel good of ourselves. Yeah. And it's killing us spiritually and physically. He says, 20 through 24, I've always obeyed every one of them, the youth replied. What else must I do? Jesus didn't argue the point of that. He didn't argue the point whether he had kept those or not. Sometimes you can get off on a tangent or arguing moot points. So he went this route. He says, what else must I do? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sadly, for he was very rich. Then Jesus said to his disciples, it is almost impossible for a rich man to get in the kingdom of heaven. I say again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Yes. Mm. Wonder why we think about rich people like that. You know, let me break it down this way for us in America. If you get food stamps, you're rich. If you get a government supplement of over $100 a month, you're rich. In some places, you may be compared to poverty or whatever, but this is one of the richest nations on earth. This is one of the best nations on earth to live in. I love America. I think it has a great ideology, and I think it's a nation that really does for its people. There is hypocrisy in it. A lot of other governments don't take care of the citizen as good as the United States does. Yes. There are a lot of other nations and things that offer free health care that the United States doesn't do. They have universal coverage. So it's according to the way you act as you look at riches. There are some third world countries. So we want to look at the widow then with the two mites or whatever. So if you're getting $300 a month and you like the rich young ruler, I can't give God any money. I can't give to the poor. He says give to the poor. So you don't tithe, you don't offer, you don't give anything. All that's for you because you want to consume it. You're not laying up treasure in heaven. You disobeying this commandment. You don't have to be a multimillionaire to disobey God. That's why we saw all of Israel destroyed. It was rich and poor. It rains on the just. If you show impartiality to a person just because they're in poverty, you got a problem there. You're impartial. Maybe some of the people that are poor people is because they don't love God. They don't love God enough to sacrifice themselves. Just like that widow sacrificed and gave the two mites, she was obedient unto God, and she gave more than the Pharisees because she gave out of what she had of a necessity, whereas they gave out of their abundance. So let's look at that now. So we don't just say wealthy as in the prospect of being rich. Whatever your income, if you're not walking in the ways of God, and that is obeying what God say do with it, then you will be rejected. You will be cast out because you're not walking in the laws of God. You won't ever get strong. You won't ever get strong. Listen at this, he says. It has to be an internal conversion, a change of attitudes and thoughts. In other words, of your thinking pattern. That's how they got there. That was in the regeneration. The kingdom of God is in the regeneration. That's why I said a lot of us won't be regenerated. We won't be started to be made new again. We won't go up to the house of God with joy, with a prospect of receiving from joy from God. A lot of people didn't come in here this morning. A lot of people didn't go to church this morning. Whatever day they go to church, with the prospect of hearing from God. I heard the deacon say he was praying for the pastor because he can agitate him a lot. A lot of people doesn't pray for their pastor or their spiritual teacher all the time. It's a lot of people don't pray for one another in the church. They're failing to be able to be regenerated in the kingdom of God because learning in the kingdom of God requires doing all these things. That's why it says forsake not the assembling together of yourselves. Matthew 19, chapter 25 through the 27 verse says, that remark about being hard to enter the kingdom of God, it confounded his disciples. What they said at that point in time, then who in the world can be saved? They asked Jesus. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, no one, he says, but with God, everything is possible. So it wasn't something you can do yourself. It wasn't something you can do yourself. Matthew 19 and 28, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man in the kingdom, literally in the regeneration. Go to Matthew 19 and 28 and see there. I didn't copy that one out. I wasn't going to elaborate on it. But it says, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. That was the way to take up their cross, deny themselves and follow after him. Sometimes you can't have what you want to have. God comes first. Let us put God first in our life. Let him put do the preeminence. Let us do as the widow did, and Elijah says, feed me first. Let us give God the first fruits of our offering. God doesn't take leftovers. He doesn't bless you over the leftovers. God comes first. Inheritance status. Inheritance status. Matthew 19 and 29. Then Peter began to say unto him. It's also in Mark, the 10th chapter, the 28th through the 31st verse. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's sake. See, I told you he had came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, and that's what we were looking at. the gospel of God. That the good news that the kingdom of God is amongst us. John came preaching the kingdom of God is near. So for the gospel's sake, Paul said he had counted all as loss. And here Jesus said, you hadn't given nothing up that you won't be rewarded for if it is for the gospel's sake. If it's for the gospel's sake. Listen at this, he says. But he shall receive 100-fold now and in this time. What? He says, now and in this time. In this life he's talking now. He says, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions. Notice he added a addendum there, persecutions. In other words, like I was saying, everybody in here, your refrigerator's full. You got plenty to eat. You really ain't worried that much about money. That's not your worry. But what you, so he said, and that's why I say the kingdom of God is among us. So we see that those obeying God, that those in the church with those kind of problems and things, that's what he's doing. He's purging them because they're not following him. They're not following the rules. You see what I'm saying? The reason you have lack, the reason the people don't like the word of faith churches and everything, is they have prosperity and everything. Prosperity is that because he says in this life. So he wants you to acquire, he wants you to have good health. He wants you to have stuff, but he says, first seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't say they're going to be added to you just in the next life. He says he's going to add these things unto you. That's in this life also. So if you got two or three cars, thank God for it. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. But he says, are you seeking the kingdom of God first? Or are you looking out for yourself first? That's going to be the difference in what you acquire. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Here Jesus making it plain now they're going to come in this life. You have friends and parents because you remember he denied. He said, who is my mother, father, sister, but those that do the will of Father. And we see that this is an ever increasing number that Christianity is growing, growing and growing. Yes. And it's been growing in the regeneration year since the resurrection. That's when the church was born. That's when the kingdom of God was established. I didn't say the kingdom of heaven, I said the kingdom of God. With persecutions, though. The more closer you get to God, anybody that had brothers or sisters that kind of despise them or think lightly of them, or you know that that hatred is there. You know that, that they don't love God as much and they don't really love you. They might stay close to you, around you, or whatever, but you can feel that animosity, feel that they want to bring you down. You can receive that persecution from your family. He said your enemies will be those of your own house. Sometime, you know, and I feel this, you know, with my church members, they wanting to lower the boom on people and want to know when can I just say this and tell them that. You can't. The anointing is what breaks the yoke. The Spirit breaks that yoke. You have to continually to love. Because he says your enemies shall be those of your own household. Sometimes the parents turn on you. Sometimes the children will turn on you. People will turn on you. But he says, Jeremiah, he told Ezekiel, I'll make you as a brazen wall. I'm going to make you strong. In other words, it doesn't make you no different that they hate you. It don't make no difference that they don't like you. They don't come around you. Huh? Now see, if you be weak and give in to that, you'll worry about what they think. I worry about what God thinks, not what they think. Amen. He's going to make you as a brazen wall. See, but that's part of walking in the kingdom because that's how Jesus walked. We have to imitate Jesus. He didn't break down. When they said that this is too hard for us, they said, okay, well, look, let me ease up on this preaching or teaching. No, he got strong. He said, y'all can go too if you want. God makes you strong. Now, watch this, he says. It says, with persecutions. Like I said, the closer you get to God, the more people on your job, the more everybody going to start taking shots at you. They're going to start taking pot shots at you. Persecution's going to grow. But you have to be strong. And boy, I was wrestling with some dreams last night. But he told Zika, though you dwell among scorpions. In other words, though it's a lot of people around you, it's dangerous being around them. You shouldn't fear those. And so you can handle scorpions and serpents. In other words, you could be around people that want to do you bodily harm. You could be around people that want to see you fail. You could be around people that want to just see you go down. They want to see you wrong. But you're not going to let that get to you. You will bless when cursed. They will continue to bite the hand that feeds you. Feed them. And you will continually feed them. Because it's heaping coals of fire on them. When they ask you something, you do it for them and give it to them. Because that's setting them on fire. Because they need to turn to God. See, that's how they got there. That's how they get into the kingdom of God. By walking in his way. Walking in his word. And Jesus replied and says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And Jesus replied, let me assure you that no one has ever given up anything. Home, brothers, fathers, that's a different version. Home, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, a property for the love of men, and to tell others the good news, who won't be given back 100 times over. Homes, brothers, and sisters, and persecution. Now, you remember, I said, as all the material things multiply, the persecution multiplies also. Those going against you, it's going to be more and more going against you. The closer you get to the kingdom, the more resistance you will get from man. They're not going to love you. They didn't love Jesus. They ultimately hung him on the cross. You will have to present your body as a living sacrifice. Because nobody wants you with that initial purpose. We'll see me achieve that initial purpose. And that's how they were going in this journey. So the third point is dominion. Rule. He promised that dominion and rule. He gave us dominion in Genesis. He says rule over the fowl of the air. Rule over the earth. We see in the last days that dominion is restored. That's to the sons of God. He had given us power to rule. And that authority. And by faith we have to assume that authority. We have to assume that authority, and it's going to fall out. It's given to the saints of God. Daniel, the 7th chapter and 18th verse. Now, as I said, we read in the beginning, our reading scripture came from Daniel, the 2nd chapter of Daniel, the 44th and the 45th verse. That's a prophecy of it, part of Isaiah. And I say redundancy is how it's taught in the Bible. It's line up on line, precept on precept. Daniel 2nd chapter 44 through the 45th verse read, during the reign of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. No one will ever conquer it. It will shatter all these kingdoms into nothing, but it shall stand forever indestructible. So we see that Daniel prophesied of this kingdom. That was the head of gold that Daniel was talking about to Nebuchadnezzar. You remember the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw with the head of brass? And that was Nebuchadnezzar was the head of that kingdom, but it had other portions of it. But we see of that monster, that beast that stood, that a stone was made and it smote that kingdom. So during the time of the kingdom of heaven and all these kingdoms of the world, he's going to conquer these kingdoms. And that's what it's saying. It says it will shatter all these kingdoms. So it's not going to be a gap theory. It's not going to be a rapture thing or whatever. That during this time, God is setting up his kingdom now. He said it was going to destroy all other kingdoms. That's why I say the United States has to fall. Australia has to fall. Russia has to fall. China has to fall. Why? Because it says all nations shall flow into what? The house of God. In other words, it's not a geographical kingdom. It's not. And those people that's preaching that, they're kind of bagging off of it because they see it would be impossible for every nation, everybody on earth to flow into Jerusalem to hear some teaching. But aren't they hearing from it, say, from right here where we are in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that I told you we go to many a different country and nations each week in our teaching over there? Yeah. Well, God's word is being taught in many a places throughout the world. So it's the new Jerusalem is spiritual. That's what he told the Samaritans. He said, you shall not only worship me in this mountain, it shall come a time that those that worship the Lord shall worship him. How? In spirit and in truth. Yes. It didn't have to be from that mountain. Mm. Wherever you are, you worship God. Mm. You worship him by walking in his way and giving glory and honor to him and doing those things that require. All creation is waiting to worship God. So I say, all nations. So he's going to settle disputes. You don't need any border walls. There won't be any walls. A wall is a sign of security. He say, I'll be a wall to you. I'll be a fortress. I'll be your refuge. In other words, all nations shall live in peace. Nobody's going to start wars. It won't be any more wars. All your weapons will be beaten into plowshares. And that's where we were. He says, as those kingdoms, now listen how you're receiving this power now. He says, Daniel 17 and 8, but in the end, the people of the Most High God, who? The sons of God. And as he promised throughout the New Testament, shall rule the governments of the world forever and forever. It's everlasting. The kingdom of God that was among them is being set up from that time, from when Jesus was here. And it says it shall never be destroyed. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But the saints, the believers of the Most High God, will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, for all ages. So that's how you inherit it. Because you have to believe you have eternal life. In that you have eternal possessions in the heavens. During the time of the apostles is when Jesus spoke this. Wasn't it? Because that's when that started. Listen to what he says in the book of Mark. 9th chapter of Mark in the first verse, it says, and Jesus said to them, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste or experience death before they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. Now, if he says that it was some, if he's standing out there preaching, and he says it's some that's right here among with us right now that won't taste of death, won't experience death before they see the kingdom come with power. 2 days later, he was transfigured before John, James, and Peter. So, in other words, he wasn't talking of some future time. If he said that those people that was listening at him then would see the kingdom come in power, and, right? So the kingdom had to come during their lifetimes. They wasn't going to taste of death. He didn't say they was going to be resurrected to a second life. He said they wouldn't taste, and he was talking of the first death. So the kingdom had to be established during his time. That's in the regeneration. Remember Matthew 7, he says, in the regeneration you will rule and reign with me. That had been promised. So to rule and reign with Christ, that power was sent on high. The kingdom of God, he says, come with power. See, and there are many in the churches and in the world that has a form of religion, but they lack the power thereof. Right? They have a form of religion. Here's the power. That's why he told his disciples, tarry ye at Jerusalem till you be endued with power. The power came in the book of Acts, the second chapter of Acts. And that's when, you remember in the prophecy of Joel, Peter said that's what that was. The prophecy of Joel being fulfilled. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all of the houses where they were sitting. What they were doing? Sitting there waiting. They were praying. They were tarrying. Wait up on God. Those that wait up on the Lord shall renew their strength. They were mount up with wings of eagles. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them others. That was the power. He launched it from Jerusalem, physical Jerusalem, but it was a spiritual thing to go throughout the whole earth. That was the power. Peter said, this is what was spoken by the prophet of Joel, that I will pour out on your sons and daughters of my spirit, and that they were to prophesy. He was going to pour out on all flesh. He didn't say just on the Jews. This was going to be on the Jews and Gentiles.
Yes.
That power, that's why they were going, that's how they got there, is that he had prophesied that he would give them the power to become the sons of God. And those that did what? Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That's how they got to say, let us go up to the house of the Lord, is that they were led by the Spirit of God. The saints of God carried his power in earthen vessels. It's in here. It's in us. See, that's where the Spirit come from within us. It resides in us. We have to be in Christ. We have to be clothed with Christ. For the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's not in word, but in power. And if we can say it through the amplified way, it says, for the kingdom of God is not based on talk, but on power. Satan was talking, but he didn't have the power. There's a lot of people can speak the scriptures. That's why I say, in the kingdom of heaven, you have a lot of them that Satan ministers are transformed into ministers of light. It's a lot of people that can preach the word of God. And that's why I say anger. When you preaching out of anger, when you preaching out of different things that Paul said that they were adding to his, trying to add to his chains for preaching for gain, for preaching for reasons other than the anointing of God being led. Those were the ones that were doing works in Christ's name. And he say, I never knew you. Because you can do all that, but not through the anointing of the Spirit of God if you're not doing it that way. It has to be through Christ, the Spirit of Christ. The anointing breaks that yoke. In the living, it says, the kingdom of God is not just talking. It is living by God's power.
Amen.
You have to live. You have to have a life. If you're not living it, if you're not walking it, you remember I told you it's a journey? The just shall walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Walking is living. That has to be in your everyday life. You have to be a doer of this word. It's not many of people run their mouth by what they're doing. It ain't nothing but talk. You done heard people say, man, I don't really want to listen to them because it ain't nothing but talk. Show me your life. Let me see your life. It's easy to talk that talk. The guy was talking about the Saints in the Super Bowl. I told you one game could cause you to bowl. Oh, but they cheated or whatever. One game can cause you that, though. You see, it's a life. See, that's why we don't get entangled in this world's affairs, because different things that you can bank on is not bankable in this world. But you can bank. They may not get to the Super Bowl, but we can get to the kingdom of God. That's solid there. You can tell people that. So that didn't move me. See, he's upset now. Nothing can upset the children of God because they have that peace. We don't get entangled. Our emotions are not tied. It's a lot of people that got stressed out talking about suing and reversing this and want to play the game over and that or whatever. With God, there are no do-overs like that. Because if you're walking in him, it's designed. All you have to do is walk therein.
Amen.
Live that life.
Amen.
Live that life. His reign began at the resurrection. You remember I told you that regeneration? It began there. The kingdom of God. You remember I said it was among them at that time? See, it's always been here, but it's not been, it wasn't visible. It wasn't achievable for man. He says, because we'll go that, like I said, it's many of different ways I can preach and teach this. He says, because the kingdom of heaven had suffered violence unto John, and there's none greater in the kingdom than John. But see, listen at the reign of Christ. Revelations 11th chapter and the 7th verse. We give thanks to Lord God Almighty who was, for now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign. Saying to you, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the omnipotent, the rule of all, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and sovereignty, which is rightly yours, and now have begun to reign. He had laid it aside as a man. He came down here. He was in the beginning with God. He was that word. But now he has risen in the resurrection. When he rose up, he says, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me.
Yes.
And then he promised that when he reigned, we would reign with him.
Yes.
He had begun to reign. And he had put all things unto himself. And like I said, there's more teaching to go on that. And in your notes, you'll see the exaltation of the saints of God. In the exaltation of the saints of God. I don't have notes on the website, but it's on Psalm 91 and 14, Isaiah 33 and 15 and 16, Isaiah 58 and 14, Daniel 12 and 3, Habakkuk 3:19, Luke 19 and 17, Matthew 19 and 28, 1 Corinthians 6 and 2, Revelations 3:21. What should we do qualifying to rule in spiritual kingship? Qualifying, how do we qualify to rule in spiritual kingship? Well, through fidelity. Through fidelity. In other words, faithfulness. Luke 22:28-29 says, nevertheless, because you have stood true to me in these terrible days, and because my Father had granted me a kingdom, I here and now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in that kingdom. And you will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. As he reigns, we reign with Christ. He had put all rule and authority under him, but we see that it's a struggle, and we have to endure. So through endurance, we have to endure. 2 Timothy 2:12 through 13 says, and if we think that our present service for him is hard, just remember that someday we are going to sit with him and rule with him. But if we give up when we suffer and turn against Christ, then he must turn against us. Even when we are too weak to have any faith left, he remains faithful to us and will help us. For he cannot disown who are part of himself, and he will always carry out his promises to us. You remember Peter, he says he prayed that his faith wouldn't fail and that Satan wants to sift us. It's going to be hard. It's going to be suffering. We're going to have to endure. So how did they get to there on that journey? That was suffering, because you say you're going to receive much more persecution. But you're not going to give up. You're not going to make provisions for the flesh. When it seems that there's no way out, that's faith. Because with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are impossible. So the widow gave her last. And God gave her more each time. We have to give. We have to suffer. We have to make those sacrifices. But if we suffer with him, we'll rule and reign with him. A lot of people don't want to suffer. They don't want to deny themselves. We have victory over Satan. We have victory over Satan. Then I saw thrones sitting on them where those had been given the right to judge, and saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for Christ, for proclaiming the word of God, and who had worshipped the creature as a statue, not accepted his mark on their foreheads. They had come to life again, and they had reigned. They reigned with him. So we're reigning right now with Christ. We're able to reign with Christ. So you'll see Jacob, and Abraham sit in the kingdom, and we'll sit down there, and the children of the kingdom will be cast out, because he had given us that power and authority over Satan. When you come to life, when you come to understanding, you can rule in your finances. You can rule in your finances. But it's learning of God. It's learning in the ways of God. In your physical body and everything, though it aching and pain and or whatever, in your mind and thing, God in your mind and can be with you. And I can lay these BCs alone. I can walk months and months without it. I'm starting to believe in God. I'm looking for another challenge, a greater challenge. I don't have to take these pain pills. I don't have to. We're going to get stronger and stronger in Christ.
Yes, yes.
We can start laying aside every weight, every sin that's besetting us. Those friends that we used to have, we can say, forget them. We can get some better friends. If they're not going to line up with Christ, get better friends. Keep going. Keep going. Keep pressing. press on toward the mark. They'll hold you in the barrel with them. That's why Abraham was told to get away from around your relative. They'll hold you right there with them. They don't want to give up things, and they don't want you to give it up because they want you in that same rut that they're in. Yeah. They want you at that same pity party. Oh, it's so bad for us poor people. But when he said those that are poor in spirit, he means those that are broken and seeing that they can't do it in themselves, that we need Jesus Christ. He's not talking about financial poverty. He's talking about that you're poor in yourself to do it, that it takes Christ's spirit to do it. You're broken. Lasting rule and dominion. A lasting rule and dominion. Let me conclude with that. Because you remember I say, how did they get there? The journey. In Daniel, it says, how great of his signs. Daniel 4 and 3. How great of are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is everlasting and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, I promise I told you about this journey. That it began in Matthew, the 19th chapter. At the 30th verse when he was talking about all that was coming into the kingdom of God. I mean, the kingdom of heaven. You remember I said that the little children was going to come. Everyone was going to come. It's like the mustard seed. All of the birds are there. But everybody that come into the church, everybody that's here, they're not going to be saved. Now, how do we get on that? You remember I told you about that journey, and I've been trying to show you it's through the word of God. It's in Christ. It's through suffering. It's having faith. Matthew. 13th chapter, 36 to the 43rd verse. Let's end it right here. The weeds explain. They sowed those weeds, and I told you about those weeds being sown. And while he was asleep, the enemy sowed tares. And he said, let them all grow up together. We've all been in the world together. You grew up with your brothers and sisters. You grew up with the people on your jobs and places. You grew up with the things going on in the world. You were struggling, and you don't know who wasn't helping you push the wagon. Yeah. But see, if you fall out with this person or that person, and you don't have a complete understanding of God, sometime you're going to root up the tares, the wheat with the tares. You know, if I be hard on you, Deacon, or be hard on somebody else, and somebody be hard on me, I don't know if you were just slow bearing fruit. You know, it takes a while for some people to learn. It takes a while for me to learn. It's a lot of things I have preached on that I see in a different light now. It's a lot of things that we have believed, and we believe that honestly, and then when we came to a greater light or a greater truth, God saw that we were looking, and he says, if you seek after truth, you shall find it. Yeah. But there were a lot of them that Satan had sown in. So he was going to explain the wheat and the tares. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. Where he went? He went into the house. Let us go up to the house of the Lord. And then we're going to learn of him. So inside the house, inside the church, inside is where he explained. That's what we're going to learn of the Lord. On that journey, they went up and they went into the house of the Lord. And he and his disciples came to him saying, explain clearly to us the parables of the weeds in the field. And he answered, one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. So he put different seeds throughout the world. But you remember Satan was sowing seeds too. It's a lot of people in life that's of their father, the devil. He won't be converted. He says, and the field is the world, and as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is when? At the end of the age. You remember he says in the last days? In the last days. That's when the purge comes. He says, and the reapers are the angels. Angels are messengers of God. We can become God's messengers or witnesses. That's why we have to continue to preach the word, because it's the word that divides asunder. It draws or drives. It separates the people of God from the house of God, from the things of God. They're not going to understand it. It's going to drive them further back. They're not going to comply with it. But unless you comply and get in line with it, it becomes a stumbling block. It'll run over you. You could have been in church and damn yourself to hell because hearing the word and hardening your heart. That's what Pharaoh did. He heard what God was saying, but he kept going against it. So just as the weeds are gathered up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, those things by which people are led into sin, and all who practice evil, leading others into sin, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. That's the fire of judgment. He will purge those. It's by his Spirit now. In that place there will be weeping over sorrow and pain and grinding of teeth, over distress and anger. Then the righteous, those who seek the will of God, will shine forth, radiating the new life, like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who hears to hear, let him hear. He who have ears to hear, let him hear. And let him hear and heed to my word. Take heed to my word. We will talk about that from the perspective of Daniel, that the learnings will increase and you will grow brighter and brighter, stronger and stronger. Each day, doesn't it feel you're getting stronger and stronger? Doesn't your expectation and hope gets more?
Yeah.
Your age fades, by the way. It's like Moses. He said he was 120. His sight hadn't grown dim. Wasn't nothing wrong. That's why God's people, they go to sleep because they don't look at death the way we look at death. They're looking to fight the next day.
Yeah.
They're looking, and they have a hopeful expectation each day. That's why when we awake, we say the Our Father prayer, and that thy will be done this day. And we thank God, and we say to him, and put on the whole armor of God to go out and fight another fight. That you would give us our daily bread, that we would learn of your word, that we'd eat of your manna. That's how we get there. It's a journey, but when we reach there, we still hunger and thirsty to be fed the word of God. He gives us a consistent hunger. Heavenly Father, as we look unto you, Lord God, the author and the finisher of our faith, that we grow in you, grow in your word, Lord God, and that we forsake not the assembling together of ourselves. And we want to go up to the house of the Lord and learn of his ways. Learn of his past and walk therein. For you had said that it is finished. And all we would have to do would walk therein. So in this regeneration, Lord God, let us walk in thy kingdom word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.